Paul gives us a word this morning
as he shared to the early church at Corinth, and we get to hear it again today.
For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And it is indeed our privilege this morning to have an understanding of what it means to meet God face to face. Throughout all of the scriptures, we give and are given several accounts of what that may look like. And I want you to, if you got your Bibles, you want to turn, we're going to go back to Exodus chapter 20 this morning. You got the pew Bible? She's already got it. She's ready. And the page number is? Page 65. Now, in Exodus 20, I hope, it's when Moses is talking with God. Does that sound about right? And there is a face-to-face encounter between Moses and God Almighty. And he comes down off the mountain with 15. And then he drops one. No, that's Monty Python, isn't it? All right. So there are 10 commandments that God gives him. Now, are they all listed right there in those next verses to follow? Okay, so I need a little bit of help today. Actually, I need a lot of help today, but that's all right. There are 5 that have to do with our relationship with God, and there are 5 that have to do with our relationship with others. As we meet God face to face, he confronts us with his standard. Now, we're going to let the side in front of me be the God side. So, I need 5 of you to find one of the 5 that have to do with our relationship with God. Now, guys over there, you've got a little bit more time. There are 5 that are coming, and they all have to do with our relationship with others. And they're actually in order, so it may not, Mary's got hers already, so she's going to start it out, and then we're going to go from there. What's the first commandment that God gives us when he confronts us with his standard, and it has to do with our relationship with him? You shall have no other gods before you. Ever heard that before? Somewhere along the way, that has been spoken. God is a jealous God, because there are lots of things in our life that we like to put there and try to think he is it. Number 2, Glenn Sweet. Oh, Corrine, you got number 3. You shall not make for yourself an idol. Or any graven image, as we understand from the King James. No idols allowed. What's that say about our American idol today? Oh, that's another story. Okay, so no idols allowed. That means don't put other things in front of God. Cars, money, relationships, orange, you fill in the blank, whatever it may be, there is a proper place for other things. Corrine, number 3. He's a little picky about how we call upon his name. And that it's not something that we should take lightly. And that it is an opportunity for us to understand that God is God and we are not. And we give him the respect he deserves. Anybody got number 4? Yes. And it sounds like we're breaking that right off the bat, because the actual Sabbath day is what day? Saturday. You say, oh, great. You know, we've messed this up from the beginning. But the deal is, are we taking time away from what we normally do, allowing it to be used where we focus not only on God, but on the rest that we need? 6 days God created the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. And we also have to have that same privilege in our life. And number 5? Have I got number 5? You're not on that side. Are we already to 5 and it's honor your father and mother? No. Did we miss one? We'll come back to that. Okay, so honor your father and your mother is number 5. How about number 6?
This side over here. You're the one with the relationship with others.
Don't murder.
Yes, but there should be individual commandments that we're listing down through. Got one? Yeah. Thou shalt not murder. Is that right after honoring your father and mother?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So don't kill your parents, all right? That's not a good idea. And then, and it uses the word murder there. It is, and murder is not something where we only snuff out the life of somebody else. We also murder with what? With our words. We murder with our words. We murder with our actions. We murder with our behaviors as we interact with other people. All right, so we're going to honor our mother and father. We're going to not murder. What else are we going to do? What was it? Do not commit adultery. Whoever you are currently with, you need to be faithful with that individual. It is about making sure that our standard involves a relationship that you are currently connected to, and to be faithful in that relationship. Absolutely. We're not going to commit adultery. What else are we not going to do?
Steal.
We're not going to steal. We're not going to steal. We're not going to bear false witness against our neighbor. And we're not even going to covet. We're not even going to covet. So when I see that beautiful orange Dart that's on campus and the beautiful orange Honda Civic XL, I say, I'm so glad they have those beautiful cars, and it's wonderful that they do, and I will settle for my almost orange Dodge Caliber, and I'm thankful that I have wheels and that it's at least in the orange family. Yeah, yeah. Coveting is about looking somewhere else and saying, man, I wish I had that, and realizing that God gives in ways that I can't see or imagine. And then we are to be content and trustworthy in all situations. That is what God confronted his original audience with, and it still is today. Now, when Moses came down off the mountain, he was glowing, right? Is that how the accounts are? He was in the presence of God, and it was hard for them to even look at him because he had been so close. But it is a great opportunity for us to be reminded that there are standards, and that God has those for a reason, not to limit us, not to be a wet blanket on our life, but so that we, in the freedom of his life and our life, we can go forward. All right, so how about this 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 22 through 25? There are two groups, especially, that Paul seems to be speaking to. He names them both in this passage. Anybody remember what we said at the very beginning? I'll give you a few minutes to turn there. One of the group's names were the Jews, and the other were the Greeks, the Gentiles. And he said, listen, we've got a situation here in your church, in your community. We've got the Jews arguing with the Gentiles, and we got the Gentiles arguing with the Jews, and you're missing the entire point of why Jesus came. When we meet Jesus face to face, he convicts us of our own prejudice. And he says, it's not about you having it all right because you can trace your genealogy all the way back to Abraham, the father of all nations. Or it's not about you getting it all right because you happen to be part of the ruling class at the present time. Rome was in charge, and they thought they had it all figured out. He says, I don't care if you come from a Roman heritage or a Jewish heritage. There is one Christ, and he is the one that is crucified, and we recognize him. He has come to establish pacem. That's the Latin word for peace. Pacem. Jesus has come to bring us peace. And there will be times when we feel we've got it right and somebody else has got it wrong. And we bring that into our world. And Paul is reminding these early Christians
Be very careful. Because the wisdom that we seek is from God. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We do not rest upon our own heritage. When we get to heaven, the American Baptists will not be the only ones present in the kingdom. And I'm hoping a few of us will actually be there. That's great. I mean, super. But let me tell you, Pastor Howard and Benita Swick over at the Haven of Hope Worship Center, as they rock out for Jesus this morning, I can't wait to worship with him for eternity. And to understand that we are together going forward in God's kingdom. We seek God's face to confront our own prejudices. And ultimately, John chapter 2, probably one of my most favorite verses of the Bible. Is Jesus getting mad at the sinners? Let me say, there's a better way to say this. Is he getting mad at the non-church people in John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22? There we go. Is what he's doing in this passage, does it have anything to do with non-church people? Where do we find this? What setting are we in? We're in the temple. We're in the temple. Jesus shows up and he cleans house. Right? Now, you've heard of this word meek. M-E-E-K. Meek. Sometimes it might be connected to the word weak. W-E-A-K. But let me tell you, I think Jesus shows his meekness in this example more than any other single passage of all Scripture. Because here's my definition of meek. It's power under control. Jesus could have come in and totally wiped out the entire contents of the temple. But instead, now does John give us the account where he actually made the cord of to whip also? What verse is that? Verse 15. Yeah, so scroll down there a few little verses. Oh, I didn't ask what page number this was. Page 91 in your Bibles there in front of you. It's an amazing account where Jesus is confronting, and it's not about non-church people. You get this? He's not out in the marketplace giving people a hard time out there because they're not following God. He's in the church. And he's saying, folks, I'm glad you're in the church, but I want you to be here for the right reason. This is a place that should always be known as a house of prayer. This is a place where all should be welcome. And even in the temple, as best they could in their own little way of doing things, they had it divided out. You had the Holy of Holies, the inner sanctum where only the high priest could enter. And then you had the court of the Jews, which really meant just the guys. That's right. Which really meant just the guys. And then you had the court of women out beyond that. And then finally, in the outer parts, way back there in the narthex, all the way back to the Mary Martha room, and they even built another addition. It was the court of the Gentiles. And all of this space was set up out of the original covenant, out of the Torah. And it was to be there for one purpose, and that was to glorify God. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. and making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables, and he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade." When we meet God, especially as he showed himself as man in Jesus' form, he communicates his passion with us at all times. And it was not a passion for violence. It was not a passion to just go around and throw tables because we want to throw tables. It was about a connection to this place of worship, that it should be a place where folks feel safe, where they feel accepted, where they can get away from what's happening in the world, at least for a little bit. And the people of the church had brought that into God's house, lock, stock, and barrel. Jesus did a little bit of house cleaning. And I'm so glad we have our children's moment. Heather, home run for Jesus. Stop, look, and listen. What a great way for us to think in terms of this period that we're in as we lead up toward Easter. It is a time in which we get to encounter Jesus. We get to encounter God face to face. And we get to see his passion. But literally, we see the passion of the cross. That he loved us so much. He gave us standards to live by. He loved us so much that he doesn't want any of us to live in prejudice one way or another. There is now, therefore, no difference between Jew or Greek, bond or slave, male or female. Paul says, all have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we have no ranking or hierarchy anymore. Racquetball is always an interesting opportunity to not only get exercise, but to expand my horizons of who it is that I encounter. I'm now playing with a friend over in Elkins. He shares a different faith than I do. And so we don't have a lot of common ground other than we like to hit this little blue ball as hard as we can, as often as we can, and then there are lots of times in between the games in which to talk. He comes to us from India, and he says, "I'm not sure you understand, or people in America understand, what a privilege it is to be here." He says, "I don't think there are any racquetball courts in India, but let's take, for example, tennis. Only those that have exclusive membership to the highest clubs are able even to play. And even if you have money to be a part of the clubs, you have to be invited by another club member to even join." And he said, "Because my family was from a different religion from the families that were in power at the time in my country, I was never granted any privilege." I said, "Oh, so you're talking about a caste system." I'm trying to remember my history, John Hicks, of how that, and he says, "Yes, but it's more than that. It's not about what's written in the laws. It's about what's written in tradition over and over again." And he said, "I wanted to learn to play violin. So I had to go and I had to pay homage to the instructor. And I had to pray to the God of music and make an offering. And if I did not pray to the God of music and make an offering in the way they wanted to, then they would not let me go on. He says, but if I do this, I go against what my parents taught me of who I'm supposed to be praying to. And he said it was a system in which privilege is what guided everything. He said, when I came to America, he says, I experienced something far different. He says, there are many of my neighbors that do not share the same faith that I have, but they are respectful of me. They treat me like a human being. I have found great opportunity not only for me and for my family. He said, I went to a Catholic school in India because they were the best schools. And they didn't make me pray in any specific way. And the rulers at the time, they were very upset at the Catholic schools. Why were they getting all the good students? Why were all the families being educated in the Christian school? Every day we have opportunity to meet God face to face. And we do that as we stare into the eyes of those that God places in our path. And how is it that we will show God's love? We certainly have His standards. We understand that He is not about prejudice in any way. But can we get a hold of that same passion that Jesus has? This passion of sharing the good news to all the world, that all may come, not because we have it all together, not because we do it all right, but because He loves us. He wants to share His peace. He wants to quiet those voices that speak so loudly in our lives sometimes. The voices that say we're never good enough. The voices that say we'll never measure up. The voices that say I'm not sure what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, so therefore my life doesn't seem to have meaning. And God speaks into all of those situations and He says, I have made you fearfully and wonderfully made. And I want you to be a part of my kingdom. I want you to understand that life is more than all that the world seems to tell us is so significant. And that we are to be about justice. We are to be about love. We are to be about mercy. And we are to be the face of God with those that we encounter. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. At this time, Almighty God, you have created the earth and the universe and all the infinite space. What we know is measurable. What we do not know is unfathomable. Remind us of how small we are and how great your creation is and the endless possibilities you have created. May we remember how small we are when we think we know it all. May we remember how great your forgiveness is when we want to hold on to grudges. May we remember how vast your love is when we want to withhold it from others. May we remember that you have created us in your image so that we can know love, forgiveness, and most of all, hope. In the name of Christ, we pray all things. And all God's people said, Amen.